Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Farmers are busy preparing to put crops into the ground. This time around, they have had a year of the pandemic under their belts. A lot has changed. Then again, not a lot has changed. The supply chain issues have settled. While dairy farmers are not selling a lot to restaurants, there are more people buying milk for home. There was a lot of money from the provincial and federal governments to help make adjustments, and the food processing industry remains a bit unstable. There is a bit less uncertainty, but new issues are arising. While farming seems a solitary job, in fact, it is not. Farmers see each other at auctions, at church, at the co-op, and a host of other places. The isolation caused by the pandemic and lockdowns has impacted their mental health as much as any other business or person. There are also new pressures and challenges farmers are facing going forward. Today's show focuses on the local agricultural community. There is an interview with members of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. It will reflect on the past year, but also look at some of the struggles, successes, and the future of farming in the county. Here is my interview with the members of the Northumberland Federation of Agriculture. I'm so pleased to have with me today Northumberland Federation of Agriculture President Sid Atkinson and Board Member Paul Burnham. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sid, it was about a year ago when we first talked about the impact of the pandemic on local farmers. I'd like to find out how you're doing, and then I'd like to ask Paul the same question. How are you, each of you, doing over the past year?
Well, Rob, we're in dairy, and dairy is basically essential, and it's pretty steady. We've had some quota cuts, and lately we've actually had some quota growth, but the market for milk is pretty constant. And in fact, it shifted, and the processors had to what they call pivot, because of the out-of-home market wasn't the same, but the home market, people still needed to eat, and they still wanted their cheese, they still wanted their cream, and they still wanted their milk, and there was a renewed focus, I think, on eating healthy, and that included dairy and more diets. So a bit of pivoting, but it did stabilize. On the farm is still hard to get used to. Get your mask, go in and call ahead, make sure it's going to be there, and but you get used to it. You don't have to like it, you get used to it, I guess. It is getting harder to get parts sometimes, and there are more dealers that are hurting for inventory, so that's going to be the next big hiccup in the system, I think. And even with that big boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal, a thing like that can really disrupt the supply chains as far as parts and inventory for dealers and that kind of stuff. So, but life goes on.
Paul, how about you? How are you doing?
I'll speak from the horticultural end of things. We have a roadside market where we market a lot of our own product, and we have a lot of staff, and we probably talked a little bit about this last year, but we had to start our business on a roadside or just on a online order system. We didn't allow people in the store. We just did curbside only. So that was a whole new experience. We had to develop a proper online marketing system. We had help with that. And then we had to teach the staff how to take the orders, record the orders. And then when people drove in, how to get the orders and deliver to the cars safely. So there was a lot of learning in that, a lot of disruption. Our business initially went down because people couldn't come in the store. Once we opened up in June, business did pick back up. We still only allowed a certain number of people in the store, but business picked up. Our pick your own operation, which started with strawberries, is the was the heaviest we've seen in years. People were aching to get outside with their families to do something. So they came and they picked strawberries, and there was a lot of happy faces, and that coincided with an excellent strawberry plant or crop. So it was very easy to pick the berries, very satisfying for everybody that went there. But we had a lot of protocols set up. We had a lot of sanitizers. We had, again, a lot of masks. And this year we're basically going to be the same as we left off last year, with a lot of care taken and keep things clean and keep people protected from each other. So that's how we went. Our migrant worker situation turned out okay. I had to do some wheeling and dealing to get the proper number of guys here, but we managed to get them here. And this year we have two already, two guys I asked for. And they're currently in lockdown for 2 weeks while they finish their isolation. And they actually got their COVID shots as they arrived in the airport. So that's good for them.
Sid, looking back over the last year, what is the biggest changes to agriculture that were caused by the pandemic locally?
Well, I see stressed people. I see that lack of social interaction. Like in the agriculture farming world, auction sales were kind of a social event. And I've been to one sale in the last year. And it used to be a case you go out and you talk to all your neighbors, you catch up on all the happenings, and occasionally you pick up a deal. But the other part is you get to an appreciation of the value of your stuff, your equipment. And it helps you out when it's time to replace it. You got something for sale, you know how it should be priced. That's a social interaction that's missed. The county fairs or town fairs are missed. I worry for people just on a mental health kind of a thing or wellness kind of a deal, like all this added stress.
Do you feel that farmers are getting the level of support for mental health? I know there's been a lot of talk about supporting mental health for youth, and there's been other sectors that have received funding and supports for mental health. What about farmers? Are you getting the support you need?
We believe we are. The Federation of Northumberland Federation of Agriculture has a farmer wellness program with a counselor that four free sessions, but you need to be a member of the OFA to qualify for this. The real hiccup here is, you know, there are people that are stressed. But how do you get them to make that call? And is there still a stigma associated with the stress or like the mental health? Like there is, it's a delicate subject, quite frankly. Now the Quebec situation, if I can go there, out of the neighborhood, so to speak, they have a program where you basically call in and say, hey, my neighbor isn't doing so well. Could you send somebody out to visit with him? Now, it's maybe a culture difference. That thing will work in Quebec. But the other part of it is in Ontario, the sense might be, well, somebody ratted me out and somebody thinks I'm not doing okay. It's how do you bring those two together and get something that's workable? It's the challenge.
And farmers tend to be independent individuals to begin with. Do you fear that we're going to see repercussions beyond this? in terms of maybe farmers walking away or leaving the industry because of the stress and the pressures?
It could be. And maybe sometimes that's not a bad thing. If their business is failing and the market, they're a victim of the markets, they need to maybe reassess and say, is this going to turn around? Will I just continue beating against the wall? There are markets, parts of agriculture right now that are booming. I mean, the price of crops for this year is just blowing me away how that market has taken off. I've contracted a lot of grain and I thought it was a fabulous price when I pushed the button and said, great, we'll do 100 tons at this price and 100 tons at that price. And then you see it just blow by that price. And you think, wow, where will it end? But it takes a wiser man than me to understand those markets. And then when you get speculators involved in those markets, and it's basically people moving paper, you wonder, sooner or later, it comes back to the farmer to actually produce that crop. So.
Paul, what changes have you seen over the last year that you root in pandemic?
What changes in the farming community?
In your sector.
Well, what we're doing right now on Zoom is a major part of what we've been doing all year. I spoke to somebody the other day, said I'm Zoomed out. Like we used to have a lot of meetings, like Sid said, not only auction sales, but a lot of meetings, organizations, and we'd have face-to-face discussions and kibitz with each other in person. And that's gone by the wayside. Later in the summer last year, we had a couple of meetings outside with the Federation, which was a welcome change. But as the pandemic wore on and got worse again, we moved back to Zoom and yeah, the social interaction isn't there. We go into town to get parts now or to get just ordinary items. And a lot of it's curbside. You don't get to wander around aisles. It's just a strange situation. We've been doing it for a year and it still feels strange. You don't feel see people's smiles or frowns or anything. So it's tough. Like Sid said, mental health wise, it's a tough thing. And if somebody's not prepared for that, then, you know, there's a lot of stress that goes along with that. And we have to just chill out. I know we've been walking. I walk a lot on the farm now because just to get out and enjoy the outside and it gets your mind off, the current situation. And I don't listen to the news as much as I did because it's all negative about COVID. So yeah, it's a mad thing. What's that, Sid?
Right on. Shut the news off and it goes away.
Yeah.
I'm pleased to welcome to the conversation the Ontario Federation of Agriculture representative for this area, Bruce Butter. Welcome to Consider This.
Thanks, Rob.
We're just talking about changes over the last year in agriculture that have been caused by the pandemic. Maybe you could weigh in from your perspective.
Well, I certainly have to agree what Paul and Sid have said. I think the face-to-face meetings and interaction, it probably has affected the farming community as much as anything. I think we still go out and do our day-to-day work like we have, and we've done that now for a year, but I'm just right in the middle of a two-day meeting right now for the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. Yesterday we had a full-day meeting. Sitting at a computer from 8:30 to 4:30 in the afternoon, that's a drag for sure. And I think it begins to affect you mentally and physically. And from all across the province, people, their concerns are the same. We were discussing yesterday about what the OFA would look like moving forward and as to our meetings, because we haven't had anything now since, I guess, last February. We haven't had any face-to-face. It's all been done by the internet. So and everybody is the same. We really want to get back to having face-to-face meetings. I think we miss that contact. We miss the vibes we get from our other counterparts, especially provincially, from, you know, all across the province. So we always get a perspective on what's happening across the province, and we miss all that. So I think that that's the biggest concern. Obviously, in some areas, COVID has really affected them because some of our members have a large amount of temporary farm workers, and so they've really been impacted by that. But they've kind of worked around that, and the government has helped with those situations. So, but still, people are still short of workers because of the situation trying to get them there. But I think, you know, we had a good year crop-wise last year, and that's kind of where we are. We continue to try and do what we do to make sure that there's lots of food and help feed Ontario and do it at a good price. So we've continued to do that through this. But I think the face-to-face and the personal interaction has really caused some issues and some mental health problems right across the province.
Sid, I'd like to go back and revisit something that you talked about, which was the markets. You mentioned about how some prices are going up at an incredible rate, but are farmers getting fair prices for their goods right now? And is it looking positive going forward?
I think it is looking positive. Like, high crop prices means high feed prices for dairies. Like, our supplements that we buy, the protein base, because, well, quite frankly, soybeans have taken off dramatically. So any supplement we buy is based on protein from soybean. There's a huge increase there. And that takes a year or two to work its way through the cost of production formula for milk. So right now the farmers are kind of sucking it up and paying it because we got no choice. But we're getting by. The beef guys, it's harder for them. They have to, if they got to buy hay or supplement for their feedlots or herds, it's tougher for them to recoup from the market. It's that decent crop year last year. Well, God love him, he lives in an area that got rain. Some of us in the shadow of Rice Lake, well, we didn't get the rain. So we had, yeah, 2/3 to 3/4 of a normal yield. And what we did get was worth more than we anticipated. And if we'd held on to what we got, it'd been an extra, pretty near, well, it'd been $100 a ton more right now for corn. But who could have foreseen that? And the market forces there with the Chinese, I guess they're doing a lot of buying on the grain market. And if you go back to summer of last year and Donald Trump made a deal with the Chinese, he told the farmers, you guys get buying new equipment and farming more land because we're going to need the crop. Nobody believed him, but son of a gun, it was right. So
people might have noticed that grocery stores have seen rises in prices for food, and many grocery stores are reporting record profits. Are farmers seeing any of this additional money? Paul, can you maybe speak to that?
Very good question. Probably in some cases, yes. Grocery stores are an odd duck because we can't really tap into selling locally. For the most part, we don't sell to local grocery stores. They have their supply chains, they have their warehouses, so they buy large quantities. I think this year, because of the lack of migrant workers in some places, some farmers reduced their crops because they didn't have the workers to look after them. So theoretically, that put the prices of product up. I don't see a big increase in the price of food. And as to whether farmers get a chunk of that, I think they're kind of at a level where they get a certain amount. And, it doesn't really vary that much, unless you're a large producer and has some pull on the supply. If you're just a small producer, a few acres of this and that, you kind of go along with the market. And I know in our place, our stores, we set the prices where we think we need to have them, and we don't pay attention to supermarkets. So we do all right. But if you're doing wholesale, you're at the mercy of the supermarkets, and that can be good, can be bad.
Paul, you talked earlier about migrant workers. Having the year to adjust to the system, how is it different this year?
The organization that looks after the migrant workers has had a year to streamline their process, and this year it has been easier. One of the main things was we had to make sure we applied early enough to get the guys down there notified. And it was very important to communicate with the guys what changes were up here. So, for instance, they had to, in Mexico, they had to have a negative COVID test within 4 days of boarding the plane. So we had to communicate that to them so that they could get that test done and so they could fly to Canada. There are some more things we have to do this year. We have to, after 10 days in their isolation, we have to give them another COVID test to make sure they're still clean that way. And just other than sanitization and isolation procedures, it's similar to the end of last year. And so far we've got the two guys that we wanted, and we're expecting two more in about 10 days. So,
Sid, I know the provincial government and the federal government have done a lot publicly to say that they are supporting farmers and agriculture. How do you feel about the level of support that's been given to farmers?
I'm likely a bad one to ask that question, Rob. Like, the nature of our business, we're in a protected market. There's a lot of concern about spread of the virus, a lot of do this, don't do that kind of stuff. They're all trying to keep us safe, I guess. But as far as financial, I don't remember cashing any checks that way. There is a concern with in the Federation that personal protective equipment is a problem, and they'd like help with that. And I could see in businesses like Paul's, that's a bigger deal because he's dealing with the public, and they have to maintain a higher level of sanitation than we do as a family unit working this farm. Our biggest thing on the farm is the milk truck drivers and the salesmen that come. Like salesmen, well, you don't have to come in. We can talk to you outside. But the whole milk thing, like, we have to sanitize right from the doorknob to the handle on the milk tank. Everything has to be wiped down and sanitized every morning when we're expecting that milk truck driver. And, oh, by the way, don't go and talk to him. He's got his job to do, and we want him to be safe and feel comfortable and provides us with a good service and a valuable service. So we play by those rules, and life goes on. So,
if you were to give the federal and provincial government a grade for their response to farmers during the pandemic, what would it be? Bruce, let's start with you.
Well, that's pretty hard to say. we're the Ontario Federation of Agriculture is a member of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture, and the CFA is the organization that deals mainly with federal government. And through them, we've been told that Minister Bibeau, who's the Minister of Agriculture, doesn't really have the ear of the finance minister. And so it's hard for her to push any programs and get support for them. Like there's a suite of programs that are available called Business Risk Management. The Agri Stability Program, a couple of years ago, it's a program where if your income drops 1 year over another, then it will kick in and provide you with some replacement income. They dropped it, the reference margin, which they call a reference margin. It was at 85%. So in other words, if your income dropped 85% or to 85%, then you triggered some payments. They dropped that to 75%. So really, and it comes in the year after the next year after the problem occurs. So people were almost out of business, and it, you know, if you're my income dropped by a quarter, it had to drop by a quarter before you triggered anything. So they've been working with the government to try and increase that and get it back up to 85%. And the federal government has responded and say they will, but then they have to, it's a cost share with the provincial government. Provincial governments have to agree to too. So they're working on that. And the federal government has said, yes, that they'll move that back up. As long as they get the agreement of the other provinces. So I think they've tried, you know, there's an awful lot of demand and there's a huge amount of money that's being put out there, and the farmers have got some of that, and what they get helps for sure. So I don't know.
I'm an educator. I give students a grade. So could you give the governments a grade?
Well, I give them 70% grade, I guess, on what they've done for agriculture.
You give them a B. Okay, Paul, your turn. Be the teacher.
Yeah, I basically was a 70% student during school, and I think I agree with Bruce. I give them a 70% overall. The big thing about agriculture is that we are a commodity that is absolutely necessary for the world to survive on. So we weren't shut down by the government. We were allowed to stay open. People have to eat. And so in that way, we were fortunate. So I'd give them 7 overall, and a big failure on the airport. That's my big bone of contention.
Sid, we'll give you the last word.
Oh, don't do that.
My last word, I have to recant a little bit on that financial aid from the government. Paul mentioned those loans, and son of a gun, I do remember my wife telling me that she applied for them. My job is to fix things and keep the show running, basically, with the help of my sons. My wife, she looks after that financial piece of getting the bills paid and stuff. So yes, we did get in on those ones. As far as the governments and their efforts, I'm not quite as generous as Bruce and Paul. Federally, I barely give them a passing grade. This whole business about sourcing vaccine and that airport thing, like having people under lockdown when they're still an average of 5,200 people a day going through Pearson. Come on, seriously. That doesn't make sense. And telling people you can't go to the golf course, for crying in the mud, that an outdoor sport where people are actually out getting sunshine and good for your mental health and good for your getting some exercise and that stuff, and you are socially distanced and you are outside. I don't get that one. The restrictions on church services and that kind of stuff too, it just plays on you. So barely passing grade for feds. for Doug Ford and his provincial. I really think his hands are tied. He has to be perceived that he's doing something. Maybe the country is looking to the likes of Australia that did quite a severe lockdown and shut down their airports. And they seem to be getting by pretty good. They bounced through this. They went through a real month of hardship there, but it seems to be behind them. And it's hard to get reliable information on what's going on in the rest of the world. How Canada seems to be the hot spot now. Even the States is saying, don't go to Canada. Those guys have cooties up there. You don't want to go up there. And how long ago was it that we were saying, dude, don't go to the States, don't vacation down there. You're down there, it's a death sentence. You'll die for sure. So that piece of it is confusing to me. And as Bruce and Paul alluded, those guys are in a tough spot. They have advisors, they have scientists, they have academics, they have, you name it, in their ear, telling them, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And they're trying to find a workable solution, a common ground, something that at least looks like they're trying. But to try and manage a population like what's in Toronto, and then having all that human traffic coming through the airport, man, oh man, how can they win?
Sid Atkinson, Paul Burnham, and Bruce Butter, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thanks for the occasion and the opportunity, Rob, and look forward to doing this again.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
That was my interview with Northumberland Federation of Agriculture President Sid Atkinson, Board Member Paul Burnham, and the Ontario Federation of Agriculture Rep, Bruce Butter. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.